now, live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's 2 minutes and 41 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2003. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Dog 1080 KOTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We got, probably some huge earthquake or something in
6.5.
San Simeon. That was where Hearst Place was,
Hearst,
right?
Castle, yeah. Yeah.
So we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to join us here in a short while to talk to us about the earthquake. And apparently there's some, I don't know, we're at like terror level pews or something for reasons.
Orange.
That
nobody, it'll be an orange can, Christmas.
That no one really understands or can explicate in any way. So we got that coming up later on. And I just heard, moments ago, I just heard another one of those Latter-day Saint traffic sponsorships that they did, where they're hawking that Joy of the World, or Joy to the World DVD thing, which I've got. I've got a copy of it. It was in the same bag that my mother-in-law brought me the Bill O'Reilly book in. She walked, man, she went even in the house for 15 minutes, and she'd given me the Bill O'Reilly book for Christmas so I could become a right-thinking American like everybody else. And then right there in the same bag was the Mormon Church Joy to the World DVD, which is just like, man, it's just like the blondest, bluest-eyed Jesus you ever saw in your life. There, in a, you know, laying in a manger in swaddling clothes, surrounded by a bunch of people that looked like they came out of a bad Abercrombie catalog.
Is Marie Osmond present in this video?
No, they don't really talk. You know, Marie Osmond's sort of the, she's kind of the LaToya of the Osmond family, because it's like, because she's just nutty as a fruitcake. Because she got put away at one point. She had the postpartum depression,
yeah,
which I think is a perfectly normal reaction to having, you know, 75 kids and having your life ruined at an early age. And not only that, she's been divorced 3 times, 2 of them to the same guy, I think, and she's obviously a hoe. Like, which is fine with me. I'm all for it. I'm all for women being hoes. But not so much in the Mormon church. But you look deep at Marie Osmond, you can kind of tell that underneath the surface there, it's like, you know, it's like flowers in the dustbin with her. You can tell she's kind of grubby underneath the surface. So coming up today, a big show today here in the Rick Emerson Show. We got a double geek watch coming up, double penis watch coming up, Saddam watch, snuff watch. It's all on the way. Later on, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. That's in the second hour of the show. And then in the third hour of the show, top 5 non-traditional holiday films of all time. That is your top 5 today. Top 5 non-traditional holiday films of all time. More of your phone calls and emails, etc. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. You can also email during the program if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We're moments away from your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom at Top Talk 1080. KOTK.
This time each year.
not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We're seriously talking about the Southern California earthquake. Well, no injuries.
Well, no, we were talking about the fact that, I didn't even really thought about that. I asked if there was any injury from this quake. It was like a 6.5 quake, and I'm no Richard Nunn. I don't know what the hell. I don't know if that's dangerous or not. But Tim noted that everything there is made out of stucco, which is just like dried toilet paper,
right,
basically.
It's sprayed on chicken wire and spray painted either yellow or white.
I mean, that's all it is. It's like those pinatas that they sell you in Tijuana. Yeah, it's just that they just get like the thinnest ass wire you could ever see in your life, and they just put this glorified spackle.
So if you take a grocery cart and really push it hard against the building,
you can knock down an entire structure.
Absolutely,
yeah.
not a problem. So people shouldn't be shocked by this. It's not like, you know, they built things to last like here. So anyway, there's no damage, and that's where Hearst Castle is, by the way, if you ever taken a tour of California. And it's not on the St. Andreas Fault, but a couple of other fault lines that run off the St. Andreas Fault. So it's a 6.5.
And all places, just a ticking time bomb. The entire state you talk about an entire state that was sort of built on a big Indian burial ground, you know what I mean? The whole place is just sort of a temporary state anyway. It's kind of planned obsolescence, meets manifest destiny.
It's a temporary location until, you do some serious study and you move to Oregon where you belong.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, it's time for a Homeland Security Alert. This is a Homeland Security Alert. It'll be an orange Christmas for everyone. Yes, we go up to condition orange. We were conditioned in yellow. Yes, it's a high alert according to Tom Ridge.
All the strategic indicators suggest from the volume, really, the level and the amount of reporting has increased. We've never quite seen it at this level before.
And Paul Bremer says the capture of Saddam is not a factor in this orange alert.
There's been a fairly steady suggestion of high terror threat, certainly in Iraq, where we are on the front of the war on terrorism, over the last weeks, unrelated to Saddam's capture.
Meanwhile, a 38-year-old from Pennsylvania arrested this morning at Miami International Airport for carrying a razor blade and a hacksaw blade in his shoe. Mark Ferrari with the Miami-Dade County Aviation Department says David McIntyre was detained after airport screeners found the blades in his shoes during a routine shoe inspection.
This was not an uncommon arrest, and we don't associate it with the condition orange or any threat to the airport. This is a pretty normal operation for us.
So it's just that they expect X number of numbskulls to try. See, here's why the airport security thing is just, it's lost on me. It just leaves me cold. Because it's like you walk, especially PDX, they got that, they got this huge glass box out front with an example of all the stuff you can't bring on. It's like everything from like bug spray to like sparklers to razor blades to whatever. And they just have a huge box filled with items that you're not allowed to bring on the plane. But it's stuff that's so patently obvious that it's like only the dumbest of would-be terrorists would be trying to bring. Like, who brings a hacksaw to an airplane? Why would?
Well, he forgot that he had the blades in his shoe.
Yeah. And he loosened.
Well, okay, that's a fair enough point. Okay, go ahead.
Any loose items that you have, you should put in your carry-on luggage. Any metal items that you have on your body, you should take out and put into the divesting trays so we can look at those through our x-ray machines. And then if you have any coats or excess garments on you, you should take those off.
I mean, it's like, let's think about this logically. Let's just go through this with you. The smallest amount of brain power. What does a metal detector detect? Detect metal. And so you got these guys that decide they're going to put like half of a Home Depot inside one of their loafers and walk through with it. I mean, and that's the guy at the front of the line that's causing all the rest. You know what it is? That guy is the equivalent of that woman at the, in front of you at the Shopko who realized that she left her checkbook in the car and she's got to root around in the bottom of her bag and see if she's got enough change to buy like a bunch of pine tree air fresheners or whatever it is she's decided to purchase. That's the guy that's backing us all up. And that guy is also the reason that it's going to take me 55 hours to get on the plane because there's some dude that wants to rifle through my jockey shorts while I'm just trying to get on and sit down and get my salted peanuts. So I'm already looking forward to that, by the way. I'm already looking forward to having to take my shoes off and unbuckle my belt for some, minimum wage with a gun, who's having a bad day.
Well, it's half of the Saddam watch.
Here's your Saddam watch for Monday.
That I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just f*** up, try as I might. But I can change, I can learn to keep my... my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again.
Yeah, I hope they don't kill Saddam, because then we'll have to quit using the... See, with never finding Osama, we can just continue to use the Osama Watch theme just forever and ever and ever. But if they lynch Saddam, then we're never going to get to use this song again. It's going to bug me.
Well, here we go. For those who are wondering, Saddam was held by Kurdish forces, drugged, and then left for U.S. troops. This is beginning to make sense to me. Saddam Hussein was captured by U.S. troops only after he was taken prisoner by Kurdish forces, drugged, and abandoned, ready for American soldiers to recover them. This is according to a British newspaper. Saddam came into the hands of the Kurdish Patriotic Front after being betrayed to members of the Al-Jabbar tribe, whose daughter had been raped by Saddam's son Uday in a bloody feud, according to the Sunday Express. The newspaper said the full story of events leading up to the ousted Iraqi president's capture in his hometown say it's an expose peddled by American spin doctors, and it's incomplete. Now, this is what's interesting about this, and nobody's brought it up yet. Why are there no still pictures or video of Saddam being pulled out of the hole?
That's a good point. Fair enough. Well, this is like when rich guys go hunting and they get somebody to like to just like toss the animals out in front of the gun so they can shoot at them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, then we have Ahmed Chalabi, our man in charge in Iraq, met with Saddam, but he didn't speak with him for some reason.
I didn't find much point in talking to him. He was, it was clear that he had learned nothing and forgotten nothing.
And then we have this other story from Newsweek. So, I don't know if we're supposed to believe this or not. But the Special Forces Commando had already pulled the pin. He was primed to toss a grenade into the spider hole, a Vietnam nickname for lethal hiding places. But the man cowering inside did not use the pistol resting in his lap. He raised both hands in submission and spoke in English, announcing, "I am Saddam Hussein. I am the president of Iraq and I'm willing to negotiate." As the story was later told, one of the Special Forces operators looked down at the bearded, seemingly dazed man and replied, "President Bush sends his regards." And coming out of the hole, Saddam accidentally bumped his head. But a knowledgeable U.S. official tells Newsweek it didn't quite happen that way. In fact, as Saddam was being handcuffed, he began to struggle with his captors. He spat at one of the soldiers. One of the commanders decked him, either with a punch or a rifle butt. So that's the newest stuff.
Well, that's what I read yesterday. There's already,
that's from Newsweek.
Like, the sort of Jessica Lynchifying of the story has already begun, because I read three or four different versions. And there's, like, no shame in letting the Kurds do it. I mean, it's... Oh. Like, if the Kurds did it, I don't know why we wouldn't just... Yeah, cop to it. I mean, we kind of got the guy one way or the other. I mean, it's not like there's any shame in admitting that the Kurds know that place better than we do.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was. It's not like we did all that. It's not like, you know, it's not like Robert Stack was over there doing a lot of investigative, shoe leather work to get him anyway. It's like wasn't it last week that we found it was one of his bitchy ex-wives turned him in?
Yeah.
That's what they were saying last week.
You know, still don't know that for a fact.
He, like, canceled the Amex account or something, and said, "God damn it, bastard. He's in a spider hole, you prick." You know, just like some... You know, one of his four wives got annoyed and turned him in. So, I mean, that's, you know...
Well, you know, she got tired of him hanging out in the Airstream in the backyard.
How is that more manly, you know, ratted out by a woman?
Well, you know, she might have gotten mad for using credit cards because there was some... new boxer shorts there. Maybe she just spent too much.
Well, he's got that thing of having the $75,000, which it seems pointless. Like, what is it you're going to... Like, everything in Iraq together isn't worth $75,000 at this point. What is it he was thinking he was going to buy with that? I've never understood that. I mean, they always talk about how American currency is sort of, it's valuable everywhere you go in the world, but I've never really understood how that works. Like, if you're, you're like deep in the sticks or whatever. You know, you're like running. You're in the bush somewhere. It's like, what does the $75,000 get you exactly?
Dish Network has a pretty good holiday deal, but you got to pay full price after like 3 months.
You can get the direct TiVo.
Well, they couldn't install in that spider hole, so maybe that's why he was upset. Excellent. Well, let's not feel sorry for Saddam being neglected this Christmas. He did get some new duds courtesy of the U.S. Army.
A jacket, a blue jacket, and Army socks and new slippers.
And that's today's Saddam Watch.
There you go.
I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute.
All right,
now
we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 K2K. We'll continue after this. We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up. We'll have news about the earthquake, which happened in Los Angeles or nearabouts this morning. And we'll find out about the terror-conditioned orange or mauve or whatever that
orange.
Is. Orange. Coming up later on, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Double penis watch. Geek watch on the way. Snuff watch as well. Stay there. Talk to Nettie Cave to Kate. So Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday. We'll be back.
on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap's about to happen like a knee you were slapping, or a toe you've been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit and two with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird, and if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock.
All right, so Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Curtis Blow, where hast thou gone? Curtis Blow's in the same, he's wherever Dougie Fresh is right now. It's 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. On the way, CNN radio correspondent Jim Rupert, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, the man who said he was Creed's lead singer and who scammed fans along the way gets 25 months. For weeks, Kevin Eckenrod lived the life of a rock star, telling people he was Mark Tremonti. The lead guitarist with the post-grunge rock band Creed, he led large crowds along Clearwater Beach, autographing the band's publicity photos. Along the way, he traded on Tremonti's name to run up large tabs at bars and restaurants, even charmed a young lady into inviting him into her home. And there he stole her check card and charged more than $1,000.
Don't you really deserve that if you're a Creed
Seriously?
Fan, though? Like, if you're somebody who's, you play guitar for Creed! Come to my house! I mean, if you're doing that, man, you kind of deserve whatever you get. Whatever comes your way is, you know, God punishes people who have crappy taste in music. You know what I mean? You got to give it to the guy. I guess that's this is the mark of a successful scam. This is how you do it. You don't pretend to be somebody really checkable. You know, you don't, because like if you pretended to be Scott Stapp, I'm Scott Stapp. It's like, A, they would probably know you weren't. And B, that's something that raises alarms, it raises red flags, because it's, you know, it seems like you're biting off a little more than you can chew there in scam terms. But you know, if you just claim, like, because it's like, who would claim to be the rhythm guitarist for the Stone Temple Pilots or something? You know, it's like claiming to be the, what are you? I'm the bass player for the Squirrel Nut Zippers. You know, it's like a thing that nobody would have claimed to be, and so therefore it makes it believable that you are that guy. All right.
Well, a little different life now. One is a prison inmate for more than 2 years. They arrested this guy who's 40 years old. They said what Creed fans failed to notice was that Eckenrod is a nomadic career criminal with more than 30 aliases and had amassed more than 60 criminal charges in Florida, many of them scamming and swindling. He also pretended to be the son of a New York Yankees owner, George Steinbrenner. On Monday, the judge told Eckenrod that if he pled no contest to charges, she would sentence him to 25 months in prison, which prosecutors say was the minimum sentence that she could impose.
You know, Creed fans have been failing to notice a few things for many years anyway. This is just the latest in a long... They've been failing to notice that you know, the Creed is an irritating one-trick band that's a watered-down version of the Stone Temple Pilots who are no good to begin with anyway. So this is just the latest in a long, lengthy laundry list of things that are going unobserved by fans of that band.
Well, administrators have decided that 3 earrings per earlobe is the maximum amount of facial jewelry employers will be allowed to wear in Orange County, Florida offices, and all other facial piercing will be forbidden. So, loops through eyebrows, nose rings, studs through tongues have no future place for county employees. And they can't even speak well when they have their tongues pierced, said Commissioner Mary Johnson, who's 70. Even the earring policy comes with, well, a catch to it. None of these 3 rings are to be worn on the top half of the ear.
Please. It's like when I went to Catholic school and they had all of these rules about what you could... Girls could have... it's like at Disneyland. You know, Disneyland's the same thing. You can wear silver or gold studs only if you're a girl.
Yes.
You can't have any other facial jewelry. You can't... Although they sell those things. Have you seen that? They sell that weird tongue-colored cap that goes over your tongue ring. You know, so you, like if you're at a family reunion or something, if you don't have to take it out, you can like, it's a thing that's the same, it's like flesh-colored, and it's a little plastic cap that goes over the tongue ring. And unless somebody's really taking a long, lingering look at your tongue, they can't really spot that you've got the ring in there, which I guess is easier than just taking the, because you can't just unsnap that, can you? Like your tongue ring, that's like, you have to have a jeweler take that off or something, don't you? You can't just like, disassemble it yourself.
Most of them, if it's that little barbell, the ends like basically screw off.
That seems
you,
like
you can change
dangerous.
The ends on them.
That seems like
that's,
a bad
that's
idea.
That little plastic cap you're talking about is just a different one that screws on the
top. Yeah, but I'm saying, you don't... It seems like a bad idea, because vibration and rattling and stuff just eventually unscrews all that stuff, so it seems like that's you know, going to end up lodged in an intestine one of these
days. What happens if you strip the screw and can't get it off? What do you call that?
I don't know. Let's not think about it.
Well, it'll be a blue Christmas for Martha Stewart. She tells Larry King she's never been more depressed.
You know, you have no idea how much worry and sadness and grief it causes.
And I would imagine, especially if someone thinks I didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
So that's got to drive you berserk.
Well, but that, having done nothing wrong, allows you to sleep.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, she looked terrible, by the way. I saw
very
the,
haggard.
Yeah, she did. I mean, it was. She looked. She looked like. She looked like a really old, wrinkly version of.
She looked like
Zellweger,
she burned a pie.
I've been brought around to Martha Stewart's side, though. I've.
There she is.
Well, she just looks so pathetic. I mean, she seems like. You know what she looks like? It's like.
Like she's been shoveling coal.
I really don't mean this to sound as cruel as it sounds, but I.
Oh, go ahead.
It's like when they show those PSAs for the Humane Society, and they do those long tracking shots, those long dolly shots of like dogs inside kennels that are about to be put down over the holiday season. This holiday season, won't you adopt a mangy dog missing an ear? You know, and then it's like some long lingering shot on a dog that looks like it's about 3 days away from the grave. That's kind of what Martha Stewart looks like this week. And so I just it's the Yuletide spirit. I'm feeling charitable and sympathetic towards her.
And who doesn't? Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Monday. Bang.
Well, Michael Jackson's party for friends and supporters is over, and those leaving the pop star's ranch and amusement park say he was calm during the event. Among the notables at the party, comedian actor Eddie Griffin, tennis star Serena Williams, rapper MC Hammer, former baseball star Daryl Strawberry, and American Idol host Ryan Seacrest. Party goers leaving the event say Jackson was relaxed and the vibe inside was supportive and included a lot of hand-holding, cheering, and praising Jackson.
I can't even imagine anybody still going to a Michael Jackson party. I mean, I know, even if you think he's been wrongly accused, even if you think that he's going to end up being vindicated of all this weirdness, I mean, I just... especially if you're a celebrity who doesn't, well, I mean, it is sort of a Z list of, it is, it's not like MC Hammer and Daryl Strawberry are like leading anybody's list of top shelf celebrities at this point in time, I guess. But it was Serena Williams?
Yeah.
Go figure. All right. Well, whatever.
Party goers leave the event say yes, he was very relaxed. It was described as a homecoming for the pop star who had been keeping a low profile in Vegas since his arrest late November. Jackson, of course, charged with 7 counts of performing lewd and lascivious acts upon a child under 14 and 2 counts of administering an intoxicating agent. He has proclaimed his innocence of all charges.
You know, I think, if I got invited, the only reason I would ever go to a Michael Jackson event is because I just want to get an up-close look at that face of his. That's the only thing, man, because I just want to see if it's a plastic nose. That's all. That's the sole reason I would want to be near Michael Jackson. And don't you, doesn't Michael Jackson look like the kind of guy that's probably got a really weird smell coming off of him, too? I don't even know what it would be, but I mean, you just take a long ass look at one of those pictures of him where he's looking like some bizarre Willy Wonka in hell or something. You know that there's a weird odor that comes off that guy. I'm not even sure what kind of an odor it is, but you know it's decidedly unhuman. There's your Jackson Watch for Monday. I mean, it probably smells like, I don't know, it's just, canola oil and, baby powder or something. It's just some bizarre combination of smells that shouldn't exist.
Like fab and pickles or something.
Completely.
Canadian Quarter. News for our friends above the 38th parallel, the 48th, or whatever it is. A drifter has been arrested after assaulting a cow. Police call it a cowardly act against Adelia the cow at Toronto's Riverside Farm. A Toronto man under arrest were allegedly, I can't believe I'm reading this, having sex with a pregnant Jersey cow and refusing to stop.
Well, you know that you're not going to knock it up at this point.
Employees at the farm on Winchester Street said they had repeatedly had to scream at a man to dismount the animal. Then police were called in to take the man away. The man refused to dispose of Delia, claiming he was assisting the animal in giving birth.
No, I'm helping it out here. Hey, hold on. Give me this.
Then, after the man...
But your pants are around your ankles. It's an untraditional method. Give me just a second. I have to...
Then he punched an employee in the shoulder before entering the horse's stall, where he again refused to leave. Oh, so then he wanted a horse, apparently. The man had to be coaxed into leaving the horse stable, then allegedly hit a worker with a beer bottle.
Maybe he was just taking the cow's temperature.
No, that could be too.
Well, I don't... Who knows? It's...
his special thermometer?
No, yeah. It's the last line of the story, though. The last line of the story is that the man has, quote, no fixed address, end quote, which means he was homeless. How much worse could your life get as a cow? First of all, you're a cow. Second of all, you're locked inside a small room all the time, and then not only are you sexually assaulted, but it's by a homeless guy who undoubtedly has his own kind of odor. Dismount the cow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to revisit something that we've talked about many times on, well, of course I do. But I mean, cows are very tall. And I don't care if you're Shaquille O'Neal. You're not tall enough. I mean...
Maybe one of the Blazers could do it.
We can find that. We can do that as a zany radio stunt.
All right, there's Tim Riley in the Cave to Canyon. That'd be funny. A federal judge has sentenced the people behind an adult website that sold defecation and urination videos and DVDs to jail term.
Welcome to the lunch hour, everyone.
Ending one of the first federal obscenity cases involving the Internet, Michael J. Corbett and his ex-wife, Sharon, who were married when running the site in question, had pled guilty to one count of mailing obscene material. The couple ran the website. Oh, should we read this now?
Let me look.
Had I pre-read that, I would have saved it until the post-launch hour.
Oh, God, there's a picture. Oh, Jesus.
Maybe we should just tease this and do it next hour.
Oh, and it's from West Virginia. Oh, God. All right. Friday, a federal judge sent DVDs of various...
Maybe we should.
Physical acts.
Yep.
The couple had run the website. Oh, God, I don't even want to say that out loud.
That's what I handed you that.
I wonder if we should save this until...
Coming up next hour.
Coming up next hour.
An interview with Ward Weaver.
I think we ought to save this story until next hour. Okay, we're going to... In light of the recent unpleasantness with the cow, we're going to... We'll save this story until after 1 o'clock. I don't want to...
I think that's a good move on our part.
Oh, God. Oh, I just read more of it. Oh,
it's
Jesus.
Really
okay,
gross.
Yeah, we'll get to that in like half an hour. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. What's up, man?
Hey, boss, how are you?
You know, we just had this story about a guy, homeless guy, busted for sodomy with a cow. And, you know, and then we had this whole kind of thing about, like, well, you have to get a stepladder for that kind of a thing. And, you know, so the show has taken a really decidedly unpleasant turn in the last couple of minutes. So we'll talk about something happy like earthquakes instead. Where are you at relative to where this earthquake that was that just happened?
I was at the airport.
And so were you able to feel it from where you were?
Yeah, but I thought it was a plane taking off low or something. It was very strange. It was like... I thought it was so weird, and because what we were talking about, I thought, okay, I have never felt this kind of feeling in an airport before. Something's up. And I thought it was a terrorist thing.
Right. Well, because because they got you at LAX all day, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And is that like their punting position? Like if they don't know what to do, what should we do with Jim Roop today? I don't know. Send him to the airport. Is this like a placeholder gig for you?
It might as well have a security tag from the TSA.
And so what is your thing? Do you just hang out at the airport going, so how's the flying for
you
folks?
I sell flowers, ask for donations.
Because... I mean, I guess it's terror level orange for what reason again?
I guess there are some threats. Some operatives, some Al-Qaeda operatives were overheard in a conversation that there are threats aimed at certain places in this country, and I believe L.A. was one of the ones that they mentioned.
Here's something I don't understand. They always talk about this so-called chatter, and they say that, well, we're monitoring Al-Qaeda, and there's been a lot of chatter about how they're going to nuke L.A. or whatever, you know, and so we're going to step it up to orange. Here's the thing. If you were walking down the street, and there were some dudes, and they were going, yeah, so in about 10 minutes, we're going to go take some shotguns and go shoot that guy in the head, like, wouldn't you just, and you were a cop and you heard that, like, wouldn't you just stop and go, just arrest those guys right now? Like, if we're listening to Al-Qaeda dudes, presumably we know who and where they are. Like, why haven't we just gone and arrested them, you know, and get those guys at least out of the equation?
You know, I asked that same question on Sunday. I said, well, if they know and they heard this conversation, where they have to have bugged someplace.
Yeah, they got to know where the guys are. Why don't they just go pick these guys up, and that's three less guys we have to worry about.
Because then whoever the guy is that monitors that line will be out of a job.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, and it seems like Al-Qaeda's, you know, it's sort of like a, you know, that's pretty much like a community, that's a community business over there. There's always going to be somebody new stepping in anyway, so it seems like we might as well get a couple guys out of the, but what do I know, though?
That's true.
All right, so is this going to result in even longer waits for me when I go to the airport, because I love that?
You know, I don't think so, because LAX is already very slow,
it's not possible to slow down anymore.
It really isn't, because every bag checked and every bag you carry is checked, and that has not changed. The only thing that has slowed things down a little bit are the random checks of vehicles as you enter the airport.
And see, and I've managed to avoid that, and I've also, they do this thing here where it's like every fifth person gets yanked behind a curtain, you know, and then you get the jelly finger or whatever. They give you some full-on, like, body search or something. They make you strip off or whatever. And so I've managed to avoid that. But do they open all your stuff at LAX? Do they open your bags?
They do mine.
Yeah. See, that's a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of crap. It's just, it's one of those things, like, you always had to get to the airport. And it makes you wonder this, by the way. They tell you now, they're like, you must get to the airport, like, 90 minutes before your flight, you know, so you can, because of increased security measures. But the thing is, they always told you that, like, they always said, like, be at the airport 90 minutes for your flight. It makes you wonder what we had to be there 90 minutes early for, like, before all of this.
Yeah, so you can eat at their concession stand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel bad for the poor sap who's going for a 45-minute flight to San Francisco.
Yeah, the wait is actually longer than the flight itself.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And you spend this kind of time now and then this kind of time there, you might as well drive.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Two things. First of all, is there any damage from this earthquake?
I think there is a two-story building that collapsed in the Paso Robles area, which is in Central California.
Was that the bell tower? Was it like a clock tower that crumbled?
Exactly, yeah.
Secondly, does or does not pocket change set off the metal detector?
Yes.
It does?
It does.
Okay, see,
well, they tell us it does.
Okay, I thought that there was something where it was like, set to filter that out, or whatever. Because I'm never clear on what sets it off. Like, they were trying to tell me the last time I flew that my ATM card was setting off the metal detector. And clearly it's just that they had broken equipment. Because they did a thing where it's like, I walk through, and you do this, when you walk through and it's like you've got a belt buckle, or steel-toed boots or something, you walk through and you're like, I'm gonna beep. And the guy, you tell him, you're like, I'm gonna beep, it's... you know, my watch, or look, I'm gonna beep, I've got steel-toed, you know, shoes. You walk through, you beep, and the guy goes, okay, you're beeping, over, and you're like, I just told you that, okay, you know, and you go over there, and then the guy's wanding you, right? He's giving you the whole wand, and he's waving it over, whatever, and you're like, it's my shoe, and they just won't listen to you. They will not accept, and then they do the thing of, like, waving it over my wallet, which is beeping for reasons that no one can explain. And he finally comes to the conclusion that it's my ATM card.
Meanwhile, they've demagnetized it so you can't use it anymore.
Well, and I think the thing my ATM card beeping is setting it off, that's a big load. There's no way. There's no way that your ATM card is setting off a metal detector. What that tells me is they've just got equipment that doesn't work, which makes me feel really secure about getting on one of their planes after that, you know? So, just, you know. God bless the holidays. God bless us everyone, Jim Roop.
I say thank you.
All right.
And whatever.
All right, there's Jim Rupin at LAX. We'll be back. We got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, double penis watch. We have a geek watch on the way. Snuff watch. More of your phone calls. The worst story of the day. Right there, coming up after 1 o'clock. As soon as the lunch hour's over, we'll... Ugh. I can't believe this photo that came with it.
It's disgusting.
It really is.
Ugh.
Merry Christmas, baby. All right. Well, I'm just going to put it face down for now. We'll be back. Here's B.B. King. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. I'm feeling mighty fine.
Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I think I need to be on crack to appreciate this music. Alright, it's the... I got your meth lab for Christmas! Do you have anything that's faster? Alright. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday. Don't forget, we'll be doing our annual Christmas Eve show day after tomorrow, including our annual performance of Santa Claus Behind the Christmas. You want to be listening for that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. Still to come, Geek Watch, Double Penis Watch, Snuff Watch. Later on in the second hour, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. And in the third hour, we got today's top five. Top five unconventional, non-traditional holiday movies of all time. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Did you know that today is the first official day of winter? It's true. The winter solstice is the day of the year when the sun is farthest south. In other words, it is at its lowest point yesterday. So that means it's like the shortest day of the year, too, according to Southern Methodist University, Dr. Gregory Roberts.
The winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, and it represents the lowest position of the sun in the northern hemisphere sky.
That guy sounds like a firecracker. Let's talk to Mark. He's a first-time caller. Let's see, first-time caller.
Yeah,
and a full-time listener in the Couve here on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's
up? Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What do you got?
Well, I got a little issue with you. I'm in the security bit, and I know we have this appearance of being drones and all this stuff.
Yes.
Okay, you come through a metal detector, you talk, oh, yeah, I'm going to beep, right?
Right.
Okay, fine. So you walk through, okay, I'm going to beep. I got steel-toe boots. And we go, oh, hey, great. Send him through, no problem. He's got steel cap boots. He's beeping. So we let you walk on through, and you got a you know, gun in your waistband. How stupid do we look then?
Yeah, except, like, I guess if I'm telling you that, like, I got, like, steel-toed boots, you know, and you check and they are, I guess what I'm saying is this. My whole thing is, I got the suspicion that, like, 90% of that equipment is only sporadically effective anyway. Like, it's like when the guy's wanding me down and it's going off of my wallet. And it's like, you know, I don't have a submachine gun in my wallet. You know?
Well, you know it, and I know it, and once in a while, maybe this stuff doesn't work very well, but if we don't check, we really look stupid, now don't we?
You know what they ought to have? They ought to have, I think you could solve all this with one fell swoop. Instead of having the x-ray machine for your bag and the metal detector for me to walk through, if they really want to do this, they ought to just do it both at once. They ought to just have a big-ass x-ray thing that I walk through, you know? And then they can look at me and see if I'm packing heat on, you know, in my shoe or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we have OSHA and everybody else getting involved. Oh, gee, we can't irradiate people now, can we?
Well, I think those things are probably, it's like those anti-shoplifting things that you walk through when you leave Walmart, you know? And it's like the little posts you walk through. I know that those things are slowly doing something horrible to my insides. I know that they're slowly doing something completely, completely terrible to me. And I guess my other thing is that, like, you know, gun, knife, whatever. Some guy wants to take over a plane, he's going to take over a plane. Doesn't, you know, he doesn't need a box cutter to do it. I mean, a box cutter's like the most innocuous of all the weapons anyway. I mean, it's not your fault. I'm just saying, some guy wants to cause a ruckus on an airplane, he'll cause a ruckus on an airplane.
Well, that's true enough, but we still got to check everybody, everything. There's no getting around that. If they beep, I mean, hey, it's a head to toe, sorry.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, we all know that's not true. Like, you and I both know you don't need to check my mom. We both know it's true. You know it's a joke. I know it's a joke. My mom, 67, just a harmless old woman from Kennewick. You know she's not going to do anything. You know it, and I know it, and she knows it. I mean, that's, you know, it's like that thing about a couple of months ago. There was a story about how Al Gore went through and he beeped, and they had to search him like three times or something. You know, Al Gore, wacky though he may be, not going to blow up a plane. Just bucket. It's not your fault though. I understand that it's like you got to do what you got to do. We don't hold it against you personally, Mark.
Well, that's always good to know.
Yeah. I think it's just an excuse because guys want to see. I think it's just the airport guys want me to unbutton my pants for them. I think it's just an elaborate ruse to get me to unsnap my my Levi's for the dude who's working the counter. That's just my suspicion.
I don't work here.
All right. All right. Your first-time caller, how'd you discover the show?
Oh, I've well, from the time when your predecessor was on, and I've just picked up on and stayed here ever since.
Excellent. We appreciate it. You spread the word. You call us anytime. That's Mark in the Couve. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We got, like, no time here, though, right? We got, like, a minute?
A minute?
Yeah, we got, like, a minute. We have something short here.
How about a quick Gore watch?
Yeah, do your Gore watch here. Speaking of Al Gore.
But Al Gore's son is charged with marijuana possession. Albert A. Gore III, who's 21, arrested Friday night after being stopped for driving a vehicle without its headlights on in Montgomery County, Maryland. That's where the sniper was. The cops stopped the car in Dark Colored County in a Washington suburb about 11:30. Friday night, officers noticed the car windows and sunroof open despite cold temperatures, and there was also a smell of marijuana coming from the vehicle. A search turned up a partial marijuana cigarette, a cigarette box containing suspected marijuana, and soft drink that also smelled of marijuana. All three were released pending trial.
All right, there you go. There's your Gore watch for Monday. It's got to be tough going through the life with the name Al Gore anyway.
The third.
Especially now. Yeah, because the third doesn't make that any better. It doesn't make it any manlier of a name. I don't know if you saw it. He's a fat little bastard, too. I don't know if you saw the picture of Al Gore's kid. He's a corpulent little weasel. That's the kind of guy that duct tapes you and sticks you in a locker when you're in ninth grade. That's what Al Gore the third is. All right, don't go anywhere. We're back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. It's Monday.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Here we're LA with the news, brought to you by Buster's Texas-style barbecue restaurant. Hickory smoked meat so tender and tasty, it'll bring out the Texan in you in Tigard, Milwaukee, and Gresham. Mayor Katz says security will be tighter in response to the higher threat nationally, but she emphasizes there's no indication of any specific threat against Portland. We didn't think there would be. Three men arrested in the death of a Marion County man. The sheriff's office says 43-year-old Stephen Thompson filed with severe head injuries last week. He's now dead. Talk about disappointment. Nike's latest shoe, a $110, that's right, we said $110 sneaker, endorsed by NBA rookie sensation LeBron James, drew an underwhelming response from shoppers. This during the first day on the market. Shoe stores hope to find throngs of customers waiting to buy it. Well, it hasn't happened here in the PDX. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon. Highs about 50. Chance of rain after midnight tonight. And yes, rain on Christmas. Tim Riley, KOTK News.